Joining us in KNBR 680, he's one of the best right-handers, I say, of all time, and I'm a big proponent of him for the Hall of Fame, and that is Jack Morris. Jack, nice to see you in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's, you know, it's been a while since I've been to the city, and, you know, the Jays are in town, so I get to follow them and have a little fun here. Hopefully, we'll have a good game.
As you were walking up, I was thinking about you, and of course, the Hall of Fame is something very important to all of us, and I say you're in. I think you should be. I know it's one of those borderline things for you so far. I said the same thing to Bert Blyleven, and of course, he got in as well. But I thought I would ask you this. What made you so tough as a pitcher? You had more wins than anybody in the 80s. What made you so tough?
I just think it was part of the character building in you know, my youth, and when I came up through the minor leagues, coaches that you know, pushed me and expected a lot out of me, and you know, I got to a point as I grew up that I expected a lot out of myself, and I wanted to be the guy on the hill in the big games, and you know, the more I was around that environment, the more I relished it. So you know, I look back and I say, was that really me? Because you know, it goes by faster than you can even imagine. But with that being said, I'm proud of what happened. I do relish the fact that I was a fierce competitor, and you know, I think more people should be.
Well, what made you the pitcher, though? Sinker, slider, fastball, move them off the plate. What was your mindset when you got on the mound?
Well, it was your piece of bread or my piece of bread. I think that's kind of the attitude. You know, we played in a different generation. We didn't give hugs to guys on the field before the game the way they do now. You know, the other team was the enemy, and, you know, our job was to beat them. And if you had a friend over there, you'd say hi to him 2-3 hours after the game, but not during the game or before the game. And, you know, I really do appreciate being in that time of baseball, because I think somehow, you know, the public sees two friends on the field before the game, and it's like, how can you compete against each other?
Well, nice to have Jack Morris with us here, of course, talking a little baseball. What a wonderful career, Hall of Fame career in my mind. I think about this as well. When we see the debates about you, say, well, if he pitched and team scored 6, he gave up 5. Team scored 3, he gave up 2. But still, going out on the hill, facing an opponent, you had more wins than anybody.
Well, I played with one thing in mind. The object is to win the game. There's a, you know, all the sabermetrics people have numbers that have rewritten the way the game is played, and the ultimate line is who won or who lost. And to me, that's all I cared about. I didn't really care about earned run average. I know that there's certain pitchers that always pitched to protect an earned run average, and I guess ultimately you do that when you're winning a game. You don't want them to come back and beat you, but to me, my goal was to not only win the game, to finish the game, to give the bullpen a rest, and to try to do that consistently as long as I could.
All right, World Series. You're a World Series champion as well, and maybe one of the greatest games in World Series history with Toronto against the, the Braves, right? Braves in
Minnesota.
Minnesota, right? Minnesota, 91. Yeah. How could you forget it? I mean, 10 innings.
Well, you know, it was a special day. First of all, there's not that many Game 7s anymore, and to get there was a great opportunity for me. But, you know, I was in phenomenal shape, mentally, physically. I was prepared for the day, and I think that's 99% of it. I knew the day before that it was going to be a special day. I just felt it. I told my dad at breakfast that morning with our whole family gathered to relax because we were going to win, and he looked at me with this puzzling look like, I've never heard that out of you, but I don't think he ever understood where I felt, and I just knew I could.
Well, that was one of those games, again, Minnesota against the Braves, and 1-0, and a shutout, Smoltz going against you. Those are the games where you just don't come out of a game. I mean, today, you're right, it's a different game, but you weren't coming out of that game.
Well, everybody was already home. There was only two teams remaining that were playing that night, and we were going home the next day. So I had a lot of time for my next start. I had a lot left in the tank. I was getting stronger as the game progressed. By the ninth inning, I thought I was pitching better than I was in the third inning. And I, you know, in all honesty, I think I had several more innings to go if I had to. But I was really happy that we finally got that one run.
Very nice to have Jack Morris with us. Some of the issues of the day, I'd like to get some of your thoughts on the replay. And you've seen the umpiring, and somehow all of a sudden these umpires, every night we see something strange. How do you feel about replay?
Well, I think if it can be organized and implemented in a way that happens quickly, number one, and doesn't really distort the way the game is played, I think I'm all for it. I think the whole idea is to get the call right. Everybody wants the call to be made correctly. So if it takes a camera and a bunch of different views and somebody in a booth somewhere in New York or, you know, Mid-America, wherever, to overrule a call that's made wrong, I'm all for that.
Baseball draft is obviously this week, and what was your draft day like? We always hear some interesting stories about that.
Well, I was a fifth-round draft pick by the Detroit Tigers, so you know I was way down there in the draft as far as from top to bottom. But I was actually expecting to go to St. Louis. I had been scouted all through high school and college by a lot of St. Louis scouts. And so when the draft came around, I was expecting that. And then when I was drafted by Detroit, I didn't quite know how to take it until I realized they were short of pitchers and needed some guys in a hurry. And I figured it was a golden opportunity for me.
Did you sign right away, or do you have other choices? How did it come about for you?
Well, I had a choice to not sign and go back to college my senior year, but I figured if I played baseball, I wanted to do that, and that was my one shot. And I always thought that someday I might go back to school, and now I realize I have no interest in building construction technology.
A good major. Where did you go to school, by the way?
I went to Brigham Young.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Brigham Young, wow. A good baseball program there?
It was great at the time. We played a lot of California schools. We played SC and, you know, Southern Cal and Cal State Irvine. We played in the tournaments down in Arizona against Arizona State. We were in the WAC at the time against Arizona and Arizona State. And we had a couple trips over to Hawaii, which for a kid out of Minnesota when, you know, you had never really been on an airplane before, to go to Hawaii was something special for me. But, there was great competition, and I was exposed to the scouts, and that's really all I wanted.
You must have been really thrilled to go back to Minnesota when you did. I remember it. It was a big deal when you went back.
Yeah. I mean, I think every kid that grows up in a community that has a baseball team someday wants to play for his home team. And I was no exception to that. I wanted to play for the Twins at some point. Fortunately, the timing was such that I was able to play there when they were good. And even though it was only 1 year, it was probably the most storied year I ever had, because I came home and we won it all, and I was fortunate enough to be the MVP of the World Series. And I can't script it up in a book any better than it turned out.
Did they give you a Corvette then? Were they still giving the Corvettes out, or was it some sort of SUV?
They gave us the keys to a minivan that was donated to charity. So, no, we didn't get anything.
I remember Bob Gibson or Lou Burdette driving off in a Corvette right after the World Series. Well, early in the season, every time it's early in the season, it's cold, I think of you. And the no-hitter you threw is a cold day. And I said, man, you know, you look at Bob Feller opening day, I think you may have the second earliest in baseball.
Yeah, it was April 7th in 1994, and it was a cold, windy day in Chicago. It was sunny out, but it was very chilly and quite windy. And I just had an exceptional forkball that day and a lot of luck. I think I had five great plays made behind me by my teammates, and you know, just a little bit of everything worked that day, and ultimately we won the game. You know, we got to celebrate on Rush Street for quite some time that night.
Yeah, I think about it every year early in the season. Did Roger Craig teach you that forkball?
Roger helped me with it, but Milt Wilcox, my teammate, learned it when he was with the Cubs from Bruce Sutter. And so he was the one that actually started kind of egging me on to try to throw it. And one day in the bullpen, we started experimenting with it, and I finally found one. And then a few starts later, I was actually throwing in a game. But Roger worked with me with it, but he's not actually the guy that showed it to me.
All right, one last thought for you. And I want to give you a shot here. Talk to the sabermeticians. And it bugs me every year. I saw your whole career. I saw you in the World Series and saw you play out here against the A's. And if there was ever a game and they gave you the ball, it was going to be trouble. What do you say to these numbers people?
Well, first of all, I don't think I have to defend anything. But second of all, you know, I just don't think that the way the numbers speak is the way the game is played. For instance, there's a thing called WAR, which is something about wins against replacement. Well, whoever the replacement is, for 99% of guys in big leagues, the guy stinks. He's not even close. So your replacement player that you're trying to pretend is going to be equivalent is not even close. That's why they're in the minor leagues. That's why they're not pitching in the big leagues. You know, I don't think there's ever going to be complete games anymore. And I think that's a shame, because you look at the taxing equivalent in the snowball effect that happens on a team when a starter can't go deep in a game. You have to use so many guys in the pen, then the pen gets tired, then your offense starts pressing because they need more runs early. And it's just a snowball effect in a negative way. So a guy that can go deep into a game, you know, there is no sabermetrics formula for that, but there should be.
All right, I appreciate it. And I'm just thinking as you're talking, the Blue Jays last weekend against San Diego, the bullpen, I think 22 innings or so, they need some starts and they need you. They need you to go out there and throw nine.
Well, it's too late for that. But, you know, I think all of baseball needs to see that again because, in my way of thinking, it was good enough for 80 years of baseball. I mean, starters went deep into games and finished games, and all of a sudden somebody reinvented the wheel, and all you see now is more people hurt than ever before. Yeah. So I'm not sure this experiment working.
All right, good for you. I hope this happens, and everyone out here in the Bay Area, believe me, appreciates you, and we talk about you when all this comes about, so I'm glad to have you on the show.
I appreciate being on. Thank you.
All right, that's Jack Morris, a Cy Young Award winner, and heck, a World Series champion, and he's going to become a Hall of Famer right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.